And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Friends, this is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Things are heating up in the world. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, and amazing things are going on. And we're going to talk about some of them today on Secrets. That's right. Oh, I love these secrets. Secrets, volume 155. 155 times. We've come to you with these amazing secrets. These are things that, well, I believe God sends to me. One way or another, he gives me a messenger or some kind of documentation, and I'm able to ferret out information that no one else seems to have even heard about, or if they have, they don't quite understand the truthful slant on. And I'm more than happy to bring it to you. Some people say, Tex, you're like a happy warrior. Well, I am. Because I have nothing to worry about. You know, Jesus was told by his disciples that they were fearful of the things that he was prophesying. And they were fearful, most of all, that the Jews were so furious at them because of what Jesus had done and said. But Jesus says, don't fear them. Fear not he who can kill the body, said our Lord, but fear he who can kill the body and cast the soul down into hell forever. Isn't that something to think about? Don't be fearful in these last days of what men can do to you or to me. That's as nothing. God says that's nothing to fear. You better fear he, and you know who he is, with a capital H. He sits on the throne in heaven. He is able to not only kill you physically, because, friends, you're only alive here due to the grace of God. You didn't have to ever be born again or born the first time. You had no obligation or right to come into this world. You can't say it was my duty to be born. You were just born. Well, I guess you could say, well, thank you to your parents. But even then, the Bible says that God has foreknown his own from the foundation of the world. He knew you. I should say he foreknew you before you were ever born. Before, as they say, you were a gleam in your father's eyes. And I mean earthly father or mother. Before they were ever married, before they ever knew each other, God knew you were going to be born and come into this world. And he knew what your destiny would be. It says, you know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. He's already arranged. Ephesians 2:10 says he's already arranged the things you've got to do. Your life, James said, is but a vapor. Oh, we all like to think we're such big shots and we're so important to the scheme of things. And if we weren't in this world, well, I guess the sun would quit its heat and the earth would quit rotating. I think every one of us sort of thinks that a little bit about ourselves. Well, you know, Paul said that every person has a bit of selfishness about him. But when it goes to the extent where you love yourself more than God and you love yourself more than your fellow man, well, then you've got some serious problems. There again, Jesus comes into play. His words, he said that the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your might. And the second commandment is to love your fellow man as much as you love yourself. It's a holy tie for second, you see. But a lot of people don't do that. They put their self first. I still remember that song. It was idiotic. It was a beautiful melody by Whitney Houston some years ago. The greatest love of all is to love yourself. Oh, shut up. The greatest love of all is to love yourself. Whoa. Oh, come on. No wonder that gal ended up as a cokehead. Married to some nutty, obscene singing star named Bobby Brown or whatever. She even sang songs that were all messed up. The greatest love is not to love yourself. That's a selfish, narcissistic idea. I mean, I'm telling you, friends, I think one of the most wonderful things in the world is a mother or a father who sacrificed themselves for their children. Talk about a great love. How about Jesus Christ? He died on the cross for your sins. No greater love can be than a man who lays down his life for his friends. That's what it says in the gospel. So don't tell me, looking in the mirror saying, I love you, that that's the greatest love of all. That's a sick stuff. But the world believes that, of course. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world. The swine flu. Some say it's really not hog or swine flu. It's misnamed. I think they call it an H1N1. They love to give numbers and names, the strange things to the things, coded messages. But listen, the swine flu was made in the laboratory, says a noted scientist. It didn't just develop. It's not some mutant that just came up. It was made by human scientists. They've unleashed something on us, and it's beginning to take the world by storm. Over in Great Britain and many other areas, it's really hitting. In China, they're beginning to quarantine people in places. According to Rahm Emanuel, none other than Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff under Barack Obama, our president, he says this fall it's really going to come out with fury against people. What would he know? How does Rahm Emanuel, a Wall Street manipulator, before he became a congressman and the money bag for the Democrat Party as a congressman, and now the chief of staff of the White House under Obama, this Jewish spy, and that's what he is, agent for Israel, burrowed down into the White House. What does he know about a swine flu that's going to hit with full fury this coming fall? Well, I think he knows quite a bit. I think he knows some inside clandestine secrets. You better think about it, friends, and you better protect yourself right now. You better get the right vitamins and natural substances and such and prepare yourself and your kids with these things. You better eat right, sleep right, be healthy. Get yourself into condition and do the right sanitary things this fall and winter, because it looks like the swine flu could be a killer. I'm not saying it will be, but maybe. Hey, I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Sonia Sotomayor, they want her to be the new Justice of the Supreme Court. Obama's nominated her. Was she involved as a member of some secret women's group? Sort of like the Bohemian Grove for men? That came out. She's been forced to leave that group, to resign from it after it came out. We'll talk about that. Hey, global warming, they say, but it's been a chilly, chilly summer for many areas of the United States and the world. What's really going on? Global warming? Do the Jews really run the media? We may have time to discuss that. Starbucks. According to one gentleman who's written me, or a lady, I should say, actually a lady, she got fired from Starbucks mainly because she was a Christian believer. Starbucks. They sell coffee, but do they also persecute Christians? What a look at that. And here's something really hot. I mean, this is hot, fire hot. It's going on from the Vatican. The Vatican has released a new statement. Pope Benedict has called for a new world order. Talk about that. Pope John Paul II went to the United Nations and called for one, and now the new Pope, Benedict, says we've got to have one that has teeth. It's got to be strong. It can control all governments and corporations. Meanwhile, did you know that a company, a corporation in England is erecting a 400-yard, that's 1,200 feet long, naked green goddess. Erecting a 1,200 foot long, naked green goddess going to be carved into the landscape. A naked green goddess, 1,200 feet in length, rising in England, Great Britain. Hey, a lot of people are saying the world's going to end in 2012. What do you think? They say the Mayan calendar of Meso, that's Middle America, you know, down in Central America, and the Incas and the Aztecs, they all proposed, especially the Mayans in their calendar, that the world would end in 2012 and a great Messiah or man God would rise on this planet. And there would be catastrophes. And the world as we know it will end in 2012. Well, you know, we're only 2 or 3 years away from that. Wow. Can we believe the Mayans? Well, an organization has been writing me, sending me letters regularly, and they say, yes, it's true. The world will end in 2012, and the Lord Maitreya is coming, the old New Age Christ. He's on his way. A pole shift is going to happen. The world will be shifted, the planet, and billions of people will be killed. The new Atlantis will surface from the ocean. 2012. It's coming. That's what they say. Meanwhile, all the world's religions are getting together in Kazakhstan. We'll find out about that. I mean, we've got so much here. Let's just get right down to it. Let's start off, though, with something of great interest. The NAFTA superhighway, rising from Mexico through Texas and Oklahoma and all the way up the Midwest, branching out onto the East Coast and the West Coast and going straight up through the Midwest, through the Missouri and area and all the way to Minnesota and on up to Canada and all the way to Alaska. And I suppose there'll be a branch of it going under the sea, the Bering Strait, into Russia, connecting first the Americas, especially the new North American Union that they still have planned for 2010. An agreement was reached in 2005 by Prime Minister Martin of Canada, President George W. Bush of America, and President Vicente Fox, the old fox of Mexico. Now, some patriotic publications heard the false news that that road, the superhighway, has been put out of business. In fact, I'm looking at one of them right now. I don't want to embarrass them by telling you the name of the publication. Victory, it says, for patriots. NAFTA toll road out of business. Says the free traders, the Illuminati, in other words, suffer a huge defeat. Not so. Friends, not so. They're still building the highway. It's only about 30 miles from right here where I'm broadcasting this program today. 12 lanes wide. Huge trucks are going to be coming up from the bowels of Mexico and Central America into the United States. They won't be stopped at the border. They'll have a chip put in them that will allow them. The computer will be watching them, the video cam, and they will be allowed because it will read the chip. And the great computer will say, go right on in. Bring what you have, whether it's drugs or weapons or millions of new illegal aliens in the back of those refrigerated trucks. Well, most of them aren't even refrigerated. Periodically, they found dead illegal aliens who suffocate and die of heat exhaustion in the back of those cattle trucks. But in any case, it's on, friends. Did you know that the Texas legislature just met in a special session and they approved a 2-year plan for the Department of Transportation of the state of Texas? And as part of that plan, Governor Rick Perry, who is a member, the governor of Texas, who is a member of the secretive Bilderbergers. Remember the book we offer by Daniel Estulin, The True Story of the Bilderbergers? Yeah, well, Rick Perry in consort with Centra, a Spanish multinational corporation and other Illuminati corporate groups, has that road just humming along. The building crews are still out. And the Texas legislature has approved for a 2-year extension of the building program. What happened, actually, was that they changed the name of it. And Governor Perry came out and gave a talk to the Texas citizens, and he said, okay, I've got so many complaints. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but here's what he said. I've got so many complaints from Texas citizens. You people just don't understand all the good things we Bilderbergers and the Illuminati want to do for you. But because of public demand, okay, we have put the NAFTA superhighway on the shelf. Now, almost with the same breath, he said, of course, we're still going to continue the superhighway that's being built, but we just won't call it NAFTA superhighway. You know, that's like saying, I won't slap you across the face anymore. Whack! What was that? Well, that was a slap, not really a slap, that was a hit. Whack! Well, what was that? Oh, that was just a wham-bam. Whack! What was that? You keep getting hit in the head. These guys just change the name and go right on. Okay, so it's not the NAFTA superhighway. It's not the North American Union Expressway. It's just the Illuminati Road to Hell. Let's just give it that name from now on. It's the Illuminati Road to Hell because it means the end of American sovereignty. And friends, that's the hope for this temporal world, America. But that hope is fast fading. Because Obama says, yes, we can. Can what? That's the problem. Incidentally, is Obama the Antichrist? Some people have written to me and said, Tex, he has all the traits of what the Bible says the Antichrist will be like. Well, not exactly. He's not of the Jewish race or religion. Although, in the Chicago Tribune, the Jews, the most powerful Jews, billionaires in Chicago, says that Obama was their man. They chose him from the very beginning. I'm convinced he's Rothschild's choice to be president. Rothschild's choice! In fact, I'm working on a video right now. It's going to be entitled Rothschild's Choice. Obama, Barack Obama, the water boy of the Illuminati, or for the Illuminati. You say, Tex, that's degrading. A black man, water boy of the Illuminati? Isn't that racist? Well, yes, it is. But I'm just telling you what it is. It's not me that's made him the water boy. It's not me that's made him the step and fetch it clown of the world. It's the Illuminati elite, the Jews that run the world. They have chosen him. Rothschild has chosen him. You will be our designated water boy. You're going to carry the water for us. You're going to just be a token black man. In fact, Obama's not even black. He's half white too. White people, in fact, he's more white than he's black. Because white people raised him. Had a white mother. By his own account, his black father abandoned him at age 2. He was raised by first his mother, then his grandparents. They were white. He went to a white privileged high school in Hawaii. He went to a mostly white college in California, and then Columbia in New York, and then Harvard University, a mostly white and Jew university in Massachusetts. He's a white man, but he's the water boy for the Illuminati. And don't ever forget it. And is that really such a bad title anyway to give him? Rush Limbaugh admitted that he was carrying a lot of water for the Republican Party. He says he knew that they were all a bunch of bums, a lot of them, but Rush Limbaugh actually said on his radio program, he said, I'm tired of being the water boy, the water carrier, carrying the water for the Republican Party, when they're really, a lot of them are not even real conservatives. Wow. Rush Limbaugh. Oh, I'm sorry, Limbo. Or is it Rush Limbaugh? Water carrier for the Republican Party. Sean Hannity's also the water carrier for the Republican Party. And so is Bill O'Reilly and many more. But hey, the Democrats have their water carriers too. The party's full of water carriers. Oh, well. You'll have to get the video when it comes out. I'm telling you, it's going to be called Rothschild's Choice. No, Obama's not going to be the Antichrist because the Bible says the Antichrist will be a Jew. It says in the book of Daniel, he will not worship the God of his fathers, but instead will worship the God of forces. The Antichrist will worship the God of forces. Who is that? Well, did you know that Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan in 1966, did you know that Dr. Michael Aquino, who founded the Satanic Church, the Temple of Set, both said they did not worship Satan as a person, but as a cosmic force, an energy force. Their God is the God of forces, and they said it. Wow. He's greater than just a person, they said. He's a cosmic force that permeates nature, all of nature and the environment. The witches worship him as Pan, the horned goat god of the forest. The God of forces. Ah, yes. No wonder Jesus said he would separate the sheep from the goats. there's a lot in that Bible in there, friends. I'm telling you, man. You know, the Bible says that a very noble person it is who searches the scriptures. A lot of mysteries. Somebody once asked me, what one book in the world has more mysteries than any other? I said, the Bible. What one book cannot be understood by the greatest scientists and professors in America and the world? The Bible. Because the Bible says that the natural man, that's the man just born of the flesh, cannot understand the things of God. The natural man, you must be born again in spirit and in truth, John chapter 3, verse 3, to understand the things of the Bible. I mean, I taught for 5 years at the University of Texas. There were over 1,600. This is the second largest university in America. I think the only larger university is Ohio State University, but the University of Texas has over 50,000 students, 1,600 instructors and professors, of which I was just one of 1,600. A lot of people say, was that a prestigious place to be? Well, yeah, I guess so. You know, you're a professor at the University of Texas. It's wonderful. But I found out something interesting. I found out most of them are a bunch of ignoramuses. Why are they ignoramuses? Well, for one reason, they don't believe the Bible. And the Bible is the greatest science and history book there is. And if you're really a true Christian, you can understand the mysteries of the Bible. There are mysteries of God not revealed to the natural man. The Bible talks about men who are ever learning and never able to come to the truth. And they believe, said the Apostle Paul, in science, falsely so-called. They shouldn't even call themselves scientists, but they do, because it's not science. Hey, let's go a little further here now. We talked about 2012. Will the world end in 2012? No. Let me tell you why, friends. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour when our Lord comes. And I love it when the Antichrist people come up with dates all the time. Yeah, it's going to end this year, that date. They love to set dates. They're just stupid. They're ignorant. Nobody but the Father in heaven knows. But Jesus did say, watch the signs. You can divine the season. And friends, I know we're close to it. It's imminent, but I'm not saying it's going to be next month, next year. You know, that's one thing that I've noticed about my ministry. I'm always ahead. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's got me in a lot of trouble. You know, I predict things that are going to happen, and after a couple of years, they haven't happened, and people write to me and phone me. You liar! You said this was going to happen. You know, I put out an audio tape right after Hurricane Katrina and Rita, and those disasters hurt the American economy, and our stock market had been driven down several hundred points, the Dow Jones average. Things were looking sort of bleak. And if you got the audio tape from me talking about America's economic future, I told you that for a short while we would have a boom. Real estate, I said, will begin to go down, but in some areas of the country where they're rebuilding after these hurricanes, actually prices will go up. And the stock market is even going to see a resurgence. Now, at that time, almost every patriot and truth teller type radio program host was saying the world is going to end very soon. Buy gold, you know, and everything's going to puff into smoke. The stock market, the real estate, everything's going down. I said, no, it's not. For a short while, it's going to go up and you're going to see a big boom. And then after that will come a gigantic crash. The biggest ever in American history. That's what I said. And you know, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly. The stock market, after I did that radio program, soared to an all-time high on the Dow of 14,000. 14,000, unheralded. That's what I said. It's going to go up. Everybody said, no, calamity. I said, no, it's going to go up first, and then comes calamity. And you know what? It crashed. It fell from 14,000, this just in 2008. It fell all the way down to 6,500 on the Dow. Lost over 55% of its value. And you know, this has been going on, this economic recession. We're now up near 10% official unemployment rate. But many people know that the true unemployment rate, because many people just quit looking. They're not even counted if you're not looking for a job. But they've so disgusted and so frustrated and disillusioned, they just quit looking. The real rate's probably 20 to 25% of the people are unemployed in America right now. It's getting bad out there. And I did tell you these things. But a lot of people say, well, Tex, you warned us, but you didn't tell us the time. Well, that's true. I remember in the Bible, Jeremiah warned the people of Israel and the king of Israel that calamity would come because of their disobedience to God. And you know, time went by and that calamity didn't happen. He said, Babylon is going to invade us, capture us, take us prisoner and kill many. And they laughed at him. They said, you've been crying wolf all this time. It hadn't happened. We're living lives of prosperity and riches. We've got it made. We don't need to obey your God. We're rich. Jeremiah kept saying, watch out. And they laughed at him to scorn. And you know, the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, he got on his knees to God and he said, God, I'm looking like a fool. I'm looking really bad. I followed what you told me to do. I warned the people. I prophesied just as you gave me, but it hasn't happened. You know, sometimes, friends, you don't want to complain to God. You just trust him. Well, Jeremiah, he was needing some assurance, I guess. And you know, the voice of God came to him and said, Jeremiah, it's not your business when I'm going to do these things. I'll do them in my own time. But they will happen. Just as I've told you, this will come true. And that made Jeremiah know all the more. God is real. God is true. It's going to happen. And shortly after that, it did happen. And everybody who said it will not happen, Jeremiah's wrong, they became a great victim, a bloody victim. It worked out exactly as Jeremiah said. Well, on the other half of this program, we're continuing talking about secrets. Sonia Sotomayor, Supreme Court Justice, the meeting of the world's religions in Kazakhstan at the Pyramid Building, the 1,200-foot-long goddess being built in England, and even the swine flu. Stay with us. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Secrets Volume 155 of my program, Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. And I'll be right back after this brief message. Do you know of the cult that has hijacked the entire world? Well, my good friend, Dr. Henry Mako, that's M-A-K-O-W, of Canada, has authored what I believe is the most important book you will read this year. It's entitled Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World, by Dr. Henry Mako, M-A-K-O-W. Now, I interviewed Dr. Mako, as you know, I think just a week or so ago here. And this book has so much information. Now, Dr. Mako is Jewish. But let me tell you something. He's a man of truth. And he's told the truth about the Jewish-led Illuminati. And because of his truth-telling, he's been called up before a human rights tribunal in Canada. Oh, yes, they want to put this man in prison for simply what he has said. What are they afraid of? What is the Jewish ADL, the B'nai B'rith, and all the others, what are they afraid of? Well, here's some of the things he reveals in this book. That 9/11 was a satanic sacrifice of the Jewish Kabbalah. He reveals that the money powers believe they're God because with the Fed reserves and the central banks, they're creating money out of thin air, and anyone that can create money out of thin air must be a god. He exposes that in his book. He reveals that there is something called the Sabbatean cult, a cult of Satan within the Jewish faith. And even the Jewish Talmud itself being an evil, evil holy book. He talks about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. And they're all guilty of fomenting communism and socialism. They are the money kings. And the whole world has fallen, he says, under the authority of Satan. Not many people even talk about Satan today. You know, not much of the world even believes there is a Satan. Well, they're going to find out. The Bible talks about a red dragon. That's a symbol for Satan. A red dragon. And Dr. Mako in his book says the whole world has been made into a colony that is ruled over by the man whom the red dragon, that is Satan, has put into power. All U.S. presidents, he says, are simply front men for the banking cartel that runs this world. If you defy that money power, you'll be eliminated as Nixon and Kennedy were eliminated. One into resignation, one into death. This is absolute domination. This is a machine of total power, he warns. Freemasonry is at the root of it. The Jewish Kabbalah is at the root of it. And the Zionists are the leaders of this satanic abyss. I'm telling you, friends, he talks about the truth about Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler, it seems, was a secret agent of the Illuminati. Could that be? He in fact, talks about a man named Captain Karl Mayer, who says, I was Hitler's boss. Think about that. I was Hitler's boss. Who is this Captain Mayer? Wow. Victor Rothschild was the father over in Great Britain of the man who I believe now runs the whole Rothschild network. The current leader of the Rothschild clan is a man named Lord Jacob Rothschild. I have a picture of his mansion, the castle or palace, you might call it, that he lives in, Waddesdon Manor in Great Britain. I have a picture in my book, Mysterious Monuments, of Warren Buffett, the sage from Omaha, financial advisor to our President Barack Obama, and the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, standing beside Lord Jacob Rothschild on the very lawn of his estate. His father, however, was another Rothschild named Victor Rothschild. And for the first time, Henry Mako, in a book, I've seen it in articles, it's been revealed and now declassified intelligence files from Great Britain from their military intelligence. It turns out that Victor Rothschild was an Illuminati agent of the Soviet Union. Victor Rothschild, the head of the Rothschild dynasty, a Soviet communist spy. Woo, but he never went to prison. He died a nice, peaceful death. Went on to hell. Wow. Victor Rothschild, a communist spy and agent? Well, of course, the Rothschilds founded Russian communism and brought in Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin to police state that great empire. And it ended up with 66 million people, mostly Christians, massacred. And the greatest concentration camp system called the Gulag ever invented in the diseased minds of men. And Dr. Henry McCoe explains it all in this book. Now listen, this book is only $20. $20. It is 250 pages in length. 250 pages of documented information. Documented, documented, documented. I highly recommend you get this book. I believe, along with my own Circle of Intrigue, and we have that book available too, Circle of Intrigue, The Hidden Inner Circle of the Global Illuminati Conspiracy. These two books will give you all the information you need. We have others too. We have Mark Dice's book, Illuminati Facts and Fiction. But I think Henry McCoe's and my Circle of Intrigue, his Illuminati, the Cult that Hijacked the World. Now, to get this book, just phone us toll free or write for it. Say, text, I want the book by McCoe, M-A-K-O-W, on Illuminati. Well, now, we have two books called Illuminati. One is from Mark Dice about facts and fiction. But this one here, The Cult That Hijacked the World, just call it the Illuminati Cult book. As for the Illuminati Cult book, by Dr. Henry Mako, M-A-K-O-W. For $20, we'll send it right out to you. Dr. Mako has been good enough to give us a quantity of them that we're able, we're right on the shelf now. We'll just pull it off and send it to you within a couple days of getting your order. Call us toll-free to order in Canada and the United States, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also send your check or money order. By the way, you need to add $5 for shipping and handling. $5 for shipping and handling. $25 postpaid. Say, text, send me the Illuminati Cult. Or send me the Illuminati book by Mako, M-A-K-O-W. I once pronounced that Macau, M-A-K-O-W. But Dr. Mako, he corrected me on that very nicely. He's a wonderful man, very kind man. By the way, friends, would you please pray for Dr. Mako? Now listen, he's a courageous man. He's a strong man. But, you know, he's under great stress and strain. Being forced probably to consult attorneys. Being called to explain himself why he writes what he does. Can you believe in a nation like Canada that's supposed to be free? Oh yeah, it's free all right. As long as you don't criticize the Jews and the occult Illuminati. But if you do that, you're worthy of prison or some other fate. We have the First Amendment in the United States of America. You know, that's the only thing that's protecting me. That's the only thing that's protecting Tex Mars. A lot of people say, Tex, why are you still alive? Hey, I got a big friend in God. And I also have the First Amendment. Boy, they hate that First Amendment, the Illuminati cult. People like Rahm Emanuel, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, they hate that First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion and belief. They want to stamp that out. Oh, yeah, there's a story there. Well, in any case, Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World by Dr. Henry Mako, M-A-K-O-W. Now, you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road. We've been here for over a decade. Austin, Texas. Our zip code is 78733. Austin, Texas, 78733. 833 in the Republic of Texas. No, not really. Just put to Austin, Texas, 78733. Oh, I try hard, don't I? Yes, I do. Well, maybe someday it will be the Republic of Texas, and I can invite you to come up here and live in my neck of the woods, folks. Or I should say down here. We're on the southern part. I like that old song. You know, the guy says, I'm from South America. And the guy said, well, what part? He says, South Texas. So we're from South America right here in Austin, Texas. Again, $25 for the book by Henry Mako. Our phone number, 1-800-234-9673. Or, by the way, if you're overseas, or that phone number doesn't work for some reason, I don't know why it wouldn't, but overseas, you can call us at area code 512-263-9780. 9780. Okay, let's return to our regular program. Hey, they're building something very, very strange, according to the Telegraph newspaper in the United Kingdom. A giant, naked, green goddess is being carved into a hillside. 400 yards long, that's 1,200 feet, carved into the Northumberland landscape under a new plan revealed by a mining company. They're going to dig out 2 million tons of earth. It will be facing the northern sky. It's designed by artist Charles Jenicky, it says, or Jenicks, I guess is how you pronounce that name. Be part of a public park. And it says, our aims, the company says, are to create an outstanding artistic landmark. Oh, yeah. A 1,200-foot-long green goddess. Oh, that's one, isn't it? You have to read about things like that in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Now, I, by the way, have a picture of this green goddess. Boy, is this strange. You ought to see this picture. Well, in any case, Kazakhstan, here he came, says Barry Kamish, the Jewish author who's all the time talking about the New World Order, warning people over in Israel. He's Jew himself. The only problem is I don't think he has much love for the Arabs and the Palestinians. He's sort of a Zionist freak himself, Barry Kamish. But he does a pretty good job in exposing the satanic Illuminati. He does that. He says that over in the country of Kazakhstan, the oil-rich Muslim Republic, in its capital city, I call it the Star City of the Illuminati in my book, Mysterious Monuments, the city of Astana, which means star in the Kazakh language. He says there they are now having their Congress of World and Traditional Religions. It's the third such Congress that's been hosted by the president of Kazakhstan. That would be President Nazarbayev. Others were held in 2003 and 2006. Every 3 years, they have this Congress of World and Traditional Religions. Now, folks, if you don't have my book, Mysterious Monuments, you must get it. It has a 2 or 3 page spread. They built great pyramids. It's an entire new city, the Star City of the Illuminati, rising up like a phoenix in the oil-rich Republic of Kazakhstan, formerly owned by the Soviet Union. Now, this is supposedly a Muslim nation, but now they're trying to bring together all of the religions of the world. And according to Barry Kamish, both of Israel's chief rabbis were in attendance. And a Catholic cardinal who leads the interfaith issues in the Vatican attended. Iranian representatives, though, who represented the mullahs of Iran, walked out of the meeting in protest. You see, because the president of Kazakhstan, Nazarbayev, had invited as a keynote speaker the former prime minister and president of Israel, Shimon Peres, a socialist like Nazarbayev, but also a rabid Zionist who doesn't mind killing a few hundred thousand or a few million Palestinians when the need arises. And they had invited him. Now, he's not a religious leader. He's a political leader. What was he doing as a keynote speaker at the Congress of World and Traditional Religions?
Well, so the Iranian representative staged a walkout during Shimon Peres' keynote address at this interfaith conference in Kazakhstan. They said they would not return as long as the Israeli leader spoke. Well, he only spoke about 40 minutes, and they came back after their little protest. Friends, the devil is bringing all the world's religions there together. There were Christian representatives from the United States, Protestants, so-called. They don't call themselves Protestants anymore. They're not protesting anything. They go along with anything. Pretty interesting, though, isn't it? Now, at the same time, the Pope, yes, the Pope, according to the world's press, now I'm reading from the Jerusalem Post, but I've read it in the Telegraph of London, the Times of London, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, and all of them are talking about, oh, the big buzz is about the Pope. Pope Benedict says we need a new world order. He calls it a world authority. Now, Reuters reported on it from Vatican City. He calls for a world political authority to manage the global economy. And listen to this. He wants it to have teeth. Teeth. It can bring harsh penalties against those who don't do right in the world. And listen, the Pope says we need more government regulation of national economies. My goodness. We need a new form of economic systems. We need to ditch capitalism and go to something new. Wow. He says, according to the Pope now, unbridled capitalism and unregulated market forces have led us to something thoroughly destructive, an abuse of the system. Well, I can attest to that. Pope is correct in that. But he says what we need is new forms of distribution. Ah, yes, the old commie socialist route. That's what the Pope says is needed. New forms of redistribution of wealth needs to be overseen by government. The rich have to be forced to give even the middle class to the poor. Now, folks, take your pocketbooks and lock them away in the safe. The Pope wants it. He wants your dollar bills. He wants to give it to the third world countries of the world. And this new world authority would have the force of law. It will have to have the authority, says the Pope, to, quote, ensure compliance with its decisions from all parties. Oh, yes. And the United Nations needs to have more power. This was actually an encyclical. This is the highest form of papal writing. Oh, let's all go wow, and bow down. All fall down to the great Pope. He's infallible. It's an encyclical. We need world socialism and communism. Now, all you Catholics that write me there and say, Tex, you don't understand. The Pope is a wonderful man, Pope Benedict. He's going to lead the world into a new age of love and harmony and peace and religious. Ooh. That's what they tell me all the time. I get it. I get it all the time. Communism, socialism, he doesn't want to use those words. He just says, we need a new type of redistribution of wealth. We need a world authority, a world government. Mm-hmm. You know, in the book Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock that we offer in this ministry, in fact, we published the book, The Synagogue of Satan. It reveals that Lord Rothschild has long been the treasurer and the man who holds the keys to the Vatican's treasury, the Vatican Bank. The Pope doesn't even have control of his own money. Lord Rothschild's got his money. But I guess the Pope wants more money from us. He wants this world authority. I wonder who that world authority would be. Already the authority of the Vatican is Lord Rothschild. He'll be our authority too. And Obama works for him. You'll find that out in my video that's going to come out in 6 weeks entitled Rothschild's Choice. Everybody says, how did Obama get to be president? He was only senator for 2 years, never really sponsored any bills. How did he get there? How did he become the 44th president of the United States? read my lips, Lord Rothschild. And I'll explain that in my video. Watch for it. Rothschild's choice, it's coming. Don't order it now, friends, but be ready to. I'll announce it. I'll let people know on the radio and in my on my websites. By the way, you can order all our books and videos on powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. By the way, he criticizes profit and says that wanting too much profit is a pernicious effect of sin. Well, I can go along with that. But financiers must have the right intention and search for positive results. And the government must have the power to intervene in our lives, he says, to correct errors and malfunctions in the economy. There must be new forms of political participation internationally and nationally. Well, tell you, a new form of participation is in the judicial area. Sonia Sotomayor, the Mexican-American Supreme Court nominee of Obama. Did you know you've heard of the Bohemian Grove? The big wigs of the conservative faction of the Illuminati that meets in the Redwood Forest of San Francisco once each year. They're meeting this summer. I'll report on that later to you. Well, according to a lot of reports, Sonia Sotomayor just happened to be a member of the Belizean Grove, an elite but little-known women's-only group. You know, the big lesbo dykes and all go there. I wonder what Sotomayor does during her personal hours. Well, we won't talk about that. They're at the Belizean Grove. Says here that they hold periodic meetings. They meet sometimes in New York City even. But they have an annual, off-the-record, three-day retreat in Central or South America. The members, like Sotomayor, Judge Sotomayor, attend cocktail parties with U.S. diplomats and officials, world officials, and participate in discussions of public policy and business ethics. Oh, it sounds highfalutin, doesn't it? Now, last year, according to these reports, they met in Lima, Peru. U.S. Ambassador to Peru, Michael McKinley, was there. And Sotomayor gave a presentation on the challenges the judiciary faces. Hey, wouldn't that rich the Supreme Court overturned Sotomayor? See, she's already an appeals court judge, federal judge. And white men who are firefighters did better on tests and had better records, evidently, than black men. What was it? State of Connecticut? I think it was up there in New England somewhere. And even though they scored higher on the test and evidently had better resumes and records, the fire department up there said, well, we can't promote them. They're white people. If we don't have any black people that do good on the test, why, we just not going to give anybody any promotions. Oh, yeah, that's America. Now, that's Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream. Give the promotions to blacks, and if they're not eligible for promotion, nobody's going to get it. You know, I don't remember those words by Martin Luther King even. Now, I'm not a fan of Martin Luther King, but even he didn't say something so idiotic and dumb and racist. But Sotomayor did. In fact, she just turned down the appeal, the plea of the white firefighters. She turned it down flat. Guess what? The Supreme Court has overturned her ruling. They rule that promotion shouldn't be given out by race, but by merit. What a novel idea. You know, friends, that's a novel idea that Tex Mars has had all of my life. Back when I was a young man, black people were discriminated against quite severely, especially where I was raised in the Deep South. People asked my opinion. I said, I think it's wrong. I think a man or a woman ought to be judged on merit, on the quality of their character, on their ability, and not on their color or race or anything else. People got mad at me back where I came from. They said I was a terrible person for saying people ought to be treated the same, based on merit. That means some people do get jobs over other people. Some people do score better on tests. Some people do work harder on jobs. And they deserve promotion. I've always thought that boards that decide for promotions, for example, I was in the Air Force, and along with my military records, they had a picture of me. Every person went up for promotion as an officer in the U.S. Air Force, when I did, had pictures of them in their records. And the officers board that gave out the promotions looked at their picture. I always thought that was a bad idea. That was a bad idea, looking at a picture. Can you tell whether a man's Asian or black or white or Mexican? I know sometimes the name gives it away. But if the name's Gonzalez, he's probably Hispanic, but not always. And I just thought that they should judge officers based on the quality of the man and not on their race. Now, I was always judged fairly. I have to tell you, I was every promotion I went up for in the Air Force, from the time I went in the Air Force as a young man of 18 as enlisted, I went all the way up to Master Sergeant. Then I became an officer and just went up, you know, made every rank there. I never missed a promotion all the time my 20 years in the Air Force. I was very fortunate. I think I could have been the youngest Master Sergeant in the Air Force. And I guess that's why I got my college degree and then my master's degree, and they made me an officer. Now, I don't have anything to complain about, but there's a lot of people out there that do, that are being prejudiced against and cheated out of promotions and jobs because they're white. And it's wrong. It was wrong 30 years ago when black people were cheated. It's wrong today when white people are cheated. It's just wrong. You know, in God's kingdom, you're not going to have any color of skin. You better get used to it, friend. And you may not like that. You know, the white power people, you may not like it. The black power people probably won't either. And I guess the brown power people get mad at me too. I don't care whether you get mad at me or not. You Jewish ADL people, you think your race is superior? Well, go to blazes. Well, I don't really want you to go blazes. I'd rather you find Jesus and the truth. And if you did, you'd know that it's a man's heart, his spirit, his soul that matters. But you're too prejudiced to get that. So that's just the way I guess we'll leave it. Well, the swine flu. Boy, I got just a couple of minutes here. Professor Adrian Gibbs, a leading virus researcher from Australia, the Australian National University, says that the flu gene that he studied in the laboratory, his findings are compelling. The genetic blueprint proves it was made by scientists in the lab. And now the World Health Organization, the United Nations, has launched a probe. They say the virus must have been set loose on the world by human error and not some evil conspiracy. So they've admitted it is a human-made virus, the swine flu. But it was not a conspiracy. Oh, shut up. Of course it was. Well, let's see what else I've got for you here. Oh, we've covered a lot of things. I guess we've just about run out of time here. Oh, we've talked about Obama not being the Antichrist, talked about the superhighway. I guess it's time to say goodbye. You know, I just hate, Jerry's my producer over there, and he's running the board. I hate to say goodbye. I love these people, Jerry, I really do. I love each and every one of the audience, and we're just so glad to be with you this week and every week the same time. And my friends, it's my prayer that you'll tune in each week and discover the power, that is right, the absolute unequaled power of prophecy.